You're staring at your desktop computer. A website asks you to prove you are human. But instead of clicking a checkbox, it tells you to go get your phone, open the camera, and scan a QR code. Because Google now thinks this is the most secure way. And this is just the latest example of a bigger problem. Most people don't know this, but that little "I'm not a robot" box we have been clicking for 20 years, that is a product owned by one company, Google. It is called ReCAPTCHA. Google owns it, runs it, and it is embedded across a huge portion of the internet. Even websites we use every day that have nothing to do with Google run Google's check in the background every time something wants to verify we are not a bot. Sure, bots are a real problem, and scams too. But for most of its life, ReCAPTCHA was a neutral tool. We clicked a box, looked at some distorted letters, proved we are human, and moved on. My mother, who is not a technical person and has no interest in becoming one, used to struggle with the old letter-based ones, the distorted fonts. She failed them, feel embarrassed, try again. She told me recently, and it is kind of bittersweet. She feels like technology is slowly removing older people from society, and not everyone has a daughter who helps with things. I thought about her when I read what Google just did. In April, Google announced something called Google Cloud Fraud Defense, the next evolution of ReCAPTCHA. They want to make it more sophisticated and more resistant to AI bots. So now, when it flags suspicious activity, instead of asking you to identify a crossfolk, it asks you to scan a QR code with your phone to confirm you are human. Okay, fine, bots can't scan QR codes. Problem solved. But there's, of course, a detail buried in the support documentation. To complete this verification on Android, you need Google Play Services version 25.41.30 or higher installed on your phone. Google Play Services is the software that basically makes your phone a Google phone. If you have a standard Android phone, you almost certainly have it. If you have an iPhone, you still do this through Apple's similar software. But now, with this change, Google is saying if you have a phone without Google software on it, like an old phone or a phone where someone has removed Google's layer, you will fail the check because your phone isn't the right kind. Now, I actually laughed out loud when I read this. I mean, in the way that things are funny when they are also slightly enraging. If you are on a desktop, like a laptop, work computer, anything that isn't a phone, you now need to go get your phone to prove you are not a robot to your computer. And the obvious question, which someone in a Reddit thread asked immediately, and I cannot improve upon, if you are already on your phone, do you need a second phone to verify the first one? I mean, the answer is no, technically. But the question is funny because it shows us what is behind their logic. Because we arrived at a point where clicking a normal website can require you to produce a Google-approved device on demand. And that requirement was not announced. It was discovered by someone on Reddit tracing back a support page through an internet archive. They found that Google had seamlessly updated the requirements months before anyone noticed. Honestly, if this was just about CAPTCHA, I would probably make a YouTube short about it and move on. But the CAPTCHA change isn't in isolation, because Google has been making a series of moves, and when you line them up, things start to look interesting. Each one of these moves does something slightly different, but underneath, they all do the same thing. They add a Google checkpoint to something that used to work without one. Let me give you two more examples. Last year, Google announced that starting September 2026, Android developers will need to register with Google, verify their identity, and agree to Google's terms, even if they never use the Play Store and only distribute free apps independently, which pushes Android further toward a permissioned ecosystem. Now, independent software distribution becomes harder, and alternative app stores become even harder to sustain. That also screws the consumer rights, because we will have less alternative software other than what is offered in Google Store. The second example is the Android open source project itself. That is the public code base that Android is built on. Independent developers have contributed for nearly two decades, and now Google is silently making the main development branch private. Outside developers can no longer see changes as they happen. They wait for whatever Google decides to release. Once again, less visibility and less accountability. The ecosystem still looks open from the outside, but increasingly operates on Google's terms underneath. And remember the CAPTCHA change on top of all these, your phone as a credential and Google software as the condition of participation. People call this initiatification of Google, but I think that framing misses something important. It implies Google betrayed openness. I think openness was always just strategic. Go back to November 27. Google announces Android. They frame it as the first truly open and comprehensive platform for mobile devices. Open source, open ecosystem, built with coalition of hardware makers and carriers. They marketed it like a philosophy. The key operating word here, marketing. Because Apple launched iPhone 4 months earlier, and Google had nothing, no hardware or ecosystem. They had no way to compete. So openness was their recruiting pitch. They needed developers, manufacturers. They needed the open source community to build something worth using. Of course, they needed it fast, and the community delivered. They fixed bugs for free. They built custom versions of Android that were faster, more private than what Google offered. They contributed code upstream. They made Android worth using. So yeah, the community made Google's mobile advertising business worth billions. Now Google doesn't need them anymore. The ecosystem is built and they have the market share. The open source community served their purpose. So what changed? Nothing really. What we are watching is Google becoming easier to understand. This is not a fall from grace at all. Just another example of a contract expiring. And the tragicomic part is the community didn't even know there was a contract. There is a term for what Google is building toward, and it lives mostly in technical conversations that haven't reached mainstream discussion yet. It is called remote attestation. The idea is this. Instead of a website verifying if you are human or not, it asks, is your device running approved software? Your phone or your computer sends an encrypted proof to a server confirming that its operating system hasn't been modified and that it is running what the manufacturer intended. They are directly participating in locking out competition using their own services. That is what their competition said recently, referring to the increasing use of Apple's App Attest and Google Play Integrity. Google actually proposed a version of this for the entire web a couple of years ago. It was called Web Environment Integrity. The backlash was significant enough that they withdrew it publicly, but they reserved the right to implement it for Android specifically, which brings us back to today. The CAPTCHA change normalizes the same underlying logic. Your phone becomes part of your identity verification. This phone-based approval system feels like a bridge towards something much more comprehensive being built in the background. Even creating a Gmail account now requires a mobile phone for many users. Security, obviously. And I want to be fair here, because the security argument is not completely invalid. Bots became sophisticated, especially now with AI-assisted systems involved. The QR code system probably does work better than clicking fire hydrants. I'm not dismissing the problem they are trying to solve. But security has become the word that ends conversations. I think it should be the starting point of the conversations. Because every single one of these moves arrives under the security umbrella. At some point, you have to ask, whose security? Because the same infrastructure that stops bots also stops your mother. It stops people in parts of the world where smartphones aren't universal. It stops people who made a deliberate choice about which software runs on their device. It stops people who can't afford the right kind of phone. And with that, they are using security to build an anti-competitive infrastructure. On the day the Captain News dropped, my husband and I were walking our dog. He's a software engineer, and I asked him if he had heard about the Google CAPTCHA change. He hadn't yet. The news was fresh. So I explained it, the QR code, the Play Services requirement, and his first reaction wasn't about privacy or open source or any of the things the technical community was already arguing about. It was just, wait, what? There are better ways to do this. And then I mentioned the remote attestation, where this is headed, what Google is silently building toward. He stopped walking for a second and said, well, the DMA should absolutely cover this. He is not a regulation person. That is my corner. But even he got there in about 90 seconds. So let me explain why, because it is the most important part of this video. There is a distinction between a product and an infrastructure. A product is something you choose, you evaluate it, you decide if it is worth using, you can switch if something better comes along. But infrastructure is different. Infrastructure is what everything else runs on. You don't choose it in any meaningful sense. It is there underneath the things you do choose, like roads, electricity grids, or the postal system. The question worth asking is, at what point does a company stop being a product and start being infrastructure? Google runs the Are You Human check for a significant portion of the internet. Google runs the operating system on the majority of world's smartphones. Google runs the app ecosystem most Android developers depend on to reach users and their phones. Google runs the email service that has become, for many people, their de facto digital identity. Google is not a collection of products anymore. They became the condition of digital participation in life. And when the participation in life requires passing Google's checkpoints, I would say that is infrastructure, whether Google wants to be called that or not. Now, here is why that distinction matters legally and not just philosophically. The EU's Digital Markets Act exists precisely because of European regulators made this argument in legal form. They identified a category of company they called gatekeepers, platforms so large, so embedded that they function as essential infrastructure for everyone who wants to participate in the digital economy. And they said gatekeepers have different obligations than regular companies. You cannot use your position as infrastructure to preference your own products, to lock out competitors, to make your ecosystem the condition of participation. The DMA is already being used against Google search, advertising, app distribution. These are active cases. But what we are watching with CAPTCHA, with developer registration, with remote attestation being built in the background, this is the same argument wearing different clothes. Google is using its position as essential internet infrastructure to require Google credentials for basic participation across large portions of the modern web. This is a gatekeeper using its infrastructure position to extend its reach. That is exactly what the DMA was designed to address. And my husband, not a regulation person, saw it in 90 seconds on a dog walk. The reason this is important beyond Europe is that regulation, when it works, sets a floor. It doesn't have to be perfect to be useful. The DMA isn't perfect. But it establishes a principle that infrastructure scale power comes with infrastructure scale obligations. The US doesn't have this framework yet, and you can feel the difference. I'm not telling you the EU gets everything right. I have spent enough time covering European tech regulation to know it is complicated, slow, and occasionally applied with the precision of a sledgehammer. But on this specific question, what obligations come with infrastructure scale power? They are asking the right question. And the answer they are building toward is also the correct one, because waiting for Google to decide it wants to be different doesn't work. The open source community waited, they contributed, they trusted, they built on borrowed ground. We know how that ended. Individual technical workarounds don't work either. Custom ROMs, de-Googled phones, alternative app stores. Yeah, sure, these are meaningful choices for people who can make them, but they are not a solution to a structural problem. They are the digital equivalent of drilling your own water well because the water company raised prices. Admirable, not scalable, and definitely not the point. The point is that infrastructure should be regulated as infrastructure. The condition of internet participation should not be controlled by a single company's system. Are you a human should not also mean are you the right kind of human with the right kind of phone running the right kind of software. Your mother should be able to use a website. That should not be a controversial position. We started with a question. Why do you need a phone to prove you are human on your desktop? The technical answer is play services and QR codes and fraud prevention systems. The actual answer is because one company became the infrastructure of the internet. And infrastructure without accountability tends to serve whoever owns it. I am Ruby. It is a privilege you are here. Thank you.